Morning. Our brother from San Antonio is with us this morning. I hope you'll greet him. God bless you. Good to see you. Please turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll continue in our series in Luke. It's been a couple weeks now. Last time we read verses 1 through 25, and just to recap, we read about Gabriel's visit to Zechariah while he was serving in the temple. Remember that? Let's look there. Luke 1, 11 through 17. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." He is told that John will be, as we talked about before, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. John will be one crying out in the wilderness. And we talked about this too, just to remind you about this discussion about Elijah. Is John the prophesied Elijah to come? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. We talked about this before. It is poor interpretation to say, well, it happened spiritually, but we're still waiting for it to actually happen. It did actually happen. Luke quotes things on purpose from Malachi to say, this is the one. This is what Malachi was talking about. What he was talking about is happening right now. Also, we talked about this. This is from Malachi. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Sound familiar? We just read almost verbatim this same thing in Luke. This is from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Does Luke think that John the Baptist is Elijah? Yes, he does. He does. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus said, John the Baptist is the Elijah to come. Luke quotes from Malachi explaining the birth that will be coming to Zechariah. The angel that's speaking to Zechariah quotes it. So, in the right time, we are told in that passage that we read last time, Elizabeth did conceive, just as the angel Gabriel had said. Luke has set the stage. Things are happening. Things that have long been foretold. Things that the faithful in Israel have been waiting for and hoping for and longing for. And he says, it's beginning. Here's Elijah. We know if Elijah's here, the Messiah is not far behind. Right? This is what they're hoping for. John is coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. He's on the way. He's in his mother's womb already. It's not long. Get ready. Get your hearts right with God. That's going to be the ministry of John. Well, let's read verses 26 through 56. There's not a great place to stop in these opening chapters, but for time reasons, we just have to. But let's read 26 through 56. Let's read 24. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So, verse 26, the sixth month. So, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the same angel, Gabriel, same one that visited Zechariah, also visits Mary in a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, listen. Nazareth is not really the best place for an important person to be from, right? This is interesting. John chapter 1, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" Apparently, it's a bad town. What? You're saying something good came out of there? Doubtful. I mean, that's the sense. It's not a great place. Even Nathanael, he's from Galilee. Nazareth is a city in Galilee. Even being from the same area, he doesn't like that. How can it be possible that the Messiah is from there? No way. And Philip said to him, "Come and see. Can anything good come out of there? Come and see." Not the best reputation for a town. The angel visits a virgin betrothed to a man called Joseph, and they're from this town. Mary is told that a miracle will happen. Not merely that two people, an old man and a barren woman advanced in years, are going to have a son. In fact, coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, even having the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, not just that, which is miraculous, but a virgin will have a child. What? How do virgins have children? This is amazing. She's not anyone special in what man would see, right? If she was brought forward like David's brothers were brought forward and say, "Which one do you think the Lord's anointing is on?" It's not going to be her. She's humble. She's lowly. She lives in a town that no one even likes. And it does say something, right, about the house of David, the status of the house of David at this point, that the relatives of David are scattered all over, even in towns that are not good. A virgin will bear a son, a humble woman living in Nazareth. And she is told by the angel, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And you can imagine, we've said this many times, but when angels appear, people are fearful. They're not like, "Yay, it's an angel." They're fearful. Even the angel tells her, "Greetings, the Lord is with you." She still is not sure. Like, what kind of greeting is this? She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God." How do people find favor with God? Because he's pleased to find favor with them. That's it. And it seems, her response seems very similar to Zechariah's, but his response is, God is not pleased with his response, right? When the angel tells Zechariah, "You're going to have a son," he's like, "How is this possible? I'm old. My wife has been barren, and even if she wasn't, she's old." And the angel says, "Okay, don't you know I'm Gabriel? I'm not playing around, and you're not going to talk until the right time, just because you didn't believe when I told you." Well, Mary, she says, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." But the Lord is not displeased with her question. It doesn't seem to be a question that comes from doubt in her, but she just wants to know, how's it going to happen? Apparently. We're in Luke chapter 1, if you want to follow along. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And then the angel goes on to say, "I know it seems impossible, but even right now, your relative Elizabeth, who's old, she has a child in her right now that's 6 months old." Nothing's impossible with God. God is doing something miraculous. Pay attention. "Behold," Mary says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so naturally, what does Mary do? She can't text Elizabeth and say, "Are you 6 months pregnant? Because an angel just told me you were." Right? What does she do? Verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to go visit her relative. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." Now listen, I'm not going to get too carried away with this, but there is a person in her womb. And that baby has not been born yet. And when that baby heard the sound of the blessed mother of Jesus, it leapt for joy inside. I'm not going to get overly carried away, but listen, doesn't that mean something? She says by the Holy Spirit, even. You see that? She was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." John is filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he hears the sound of the mother of the Savior of the world and leaps for joy, almost in anticipation. This is interesting. John, filled with the Spirit, even from his mother's womb, we're told in verse 15, chapter 1. So Mary goes to confirm, I guess, to check it out. It doesn't seem to be doubt in her. She is, the angel seems to be pleased with her response. She even says, "I'm not sure how this is going to happen, but let it be to me according to your word." And Elizabeth praises her even in verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The angel appears to her, tells her, "I know you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby." She says, "Okay. I don't know how this is going to happen, but okay." She goes to see her relative. It happened just as the angel had told her, that her relative was 6 months pregnant. And then she goes into a song. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Listen, people get carried away with Mary, right? And they even invent things like she didn't have sin either. Because they say if she had sinned, then Jesus would be part sinful, right? Because isn't that what we say? It's hereditary depravity. It's passed down from our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all the way back to Adam and Eve. But what they're trying to do, the scripture doesn't support. She's a normal woman that found favor with God. Should we praise Mary? Yes. inasmuch as the scripture does, she was highly favored by God. Do you praise God for Abraham? What about Jacob and Isaac and Elijah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, Daniel? They were highly favored, right? Well, what about Mary? Praise God for Mary. She was highly favored. God looked upon her humble estate. She even says, from now on, all generations, they're going to look to me and say, she's blessed. She's breaking out into song and praise of her God because of what God is doing for her. Not that she's great and deserved it. No, she's obviously not in that state of mind. She's like, I don't deserve this, but God is blessing me. Everyone is going to say, you are blessed. They will call me blessed. Verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. This seems to be more than she understands, right? Does she know everything that's happening to her? It doesn't seem like she knows yet, right? And we even get some evidence of that in the ministry of Jesus. He's preaching and preaching and very busy, and they come to the door and say, you need to take a break. You don't even have time to eat. You've lost your mind, right? This is Mary and the Jesus' siblings. So she doesn't understand. I think she's saying more than she knows. And Elizabeth did too. By the Spirit. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he's sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her 3 months and returned to her home. So Mary was there, seems like, right up until the birth. She's 6 months pregnant when she goes to visit her and remains 3 months. If we go back just a little bit to this idea of her son. Your son, you'll call him Jesus, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. There will be no end to it. This is Daniel language, right? If we turn to Daniel, or you can just listen, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Daniel chapter 7. This is what the angel tells Mary about Jesus, the Son of Man. And it's not lost on the Jews when he keeps saying things like this. They know the Old Testament. They understand why you keep calling yourself that. Because he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he did fulfill it. Are we under the law of Moses? No, Jesus fulfilled it. We're under the law of Christ. We're told in Hebrews, if you disobeyed the law of Moses and got this or that penalty, what if you disobey the Son of God, who's much higher than Moses, a man, Jesus being God in the flesh? If you disobey him, what should the penalty be? More severe or less severe than disobeying the law? And the answer is obvious, more severe. But this idea of his everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Luke is giving us an account. He tells us he wasn't an eyewitness to these things, but he heard lots of testimonies and compiled them together by God's help. And he's laying it out. There's this child, John the Baptist, and he's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. And the virgin is going to have a child, and that child will have a kingdom that will never end. Pointing back to Daniel and other passages that are looking forward to this. It would be an exciting time to be in Israel, wouldn't it? And also, dangerous time. Dangerous time. Well, listen, we can't go on, but Jesus is the promised Messiah. We'll see more as we continue to go through this gospel. He is the one who will reign. He will sit on the throne, is sitting on the throne of David. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His reign never ends. Listen, in our country, we vote for leaders. And if we don't like one of them, we can vote them out. Right? That's one of the good things. They can only be in so long. We can vote them out. Listen, there's not going to be another king that's sitting on the throne. And you're not going to be able to change his will. His will is that we repent and believe in the name of Jesus. That's his will. There will never be a different king. There won't be another system. There won't be a different set of rules. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion, his reign has no end. We should be thankful. He is a good king. You know, sometimes in our country, because of rules that we have, we might want it, the president or whoever, to keep going. But we have laws that say they can't. Listen, Jesus' reign never ends. He is altogether lovely and kind and merciful and wise. He doesn't rule in ways that are inappropriate. He's the perfect king. Would you trust him? Would you trust the Lord and his plan like Mary did? If you do, you'll be called blessed. His mercy is for all those who fear him, from generation to generation. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the Gospel of Luke. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith and that you would awaken faith in those who need that. Father, have mercy on us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we pray that as we hear the Word of God, that we would believe. We've not seen these things, but we read them and we believe. Father, strengthen our faith. Be with those among us that are like the bruised reed and the smoking wick. And Father, have mercy. Strengthen us, please. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.